Sapphire Grand Prix of Devon, which is scheduled to begin at 8 p.m. Induction into the Show Jumping Hall of Fame is an honor bestowed annually upon select individuals whose contributions to the sport have set them apart and whose influence has had a significant impact on the sport of show jumping and the equestrian community. It is because of their talents.
USA Radio News with Jason Wirt.
Pennsylvania State Police officers received a tip that the vehicle that we were looking for, the white Ford Fusion, was in a McDonald's parking lot near Erie, PA.
Cleveland Police Chief Calvin Williams saying it was a citizen tip that led to the series of events that resulted in the suicide of Facebook killer Steve Stevens. Williams expressed his disappointment about the outcome.
We would prefer that it had not ended this way because there are a lot of questions, I'm sure, that not only the family, but the city in general would have had for Steve as to why this transpired.
President Trump slamming the Democratic congressional candidate in today's special election in Georgia's 6th District. John Ossoff hoping to become the first Democrat to win the seat in more than three decades. Trump said this morning Ossoff's weak on crime and loves illegal immigration. It was found out today that Ossoff is not even a resident of the district where he's running for Congress. USA Radio News.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Jen London with The Place for Mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. They've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad.
I was so glad that I called A Place for Mom. My advisor really listened and was truly my partner in finding senior care for my dad. She went out of her way to get to know him as a person and was always there whenever I had a question.
The senior living advisors at A Place for Mom partner with thousands of families every month, listening and offering local knowledge and advice to help find the best senior living communities across the country. And it's a free service. Here's the number.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-469-7591.
There's a place for answers. A Place for Mom. Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-469-7591. That's 1-800-469-7591.
Attorney General Jeff Sessions says gangs are now in the crosshairs of the Justice Department. Correspondent Chris Barnes reports.
If you are a gang member, we will find you.
AG Jeff Sessions vowing zero tolerance for violent gangs in the U.S., adding,
we will devastate your networks, we will starve your revenue sources, deplete your ranks, and seize your profits.
Sessions focusing on the notorious MS-13 gang, which is based in El Salvador, but has plenty of members here in the U.S.
These organizations enrich themselves by peddling poison in our communities.
Sessions criticizing sanctuary cities, saying they enable criminal gangs. I'm Chris Barnes.
Vice President Mike Pence says all options remain on the table in dealing with North Korea. Speaking in Tokyo today on the second leg of his Asia-Pacific tour, he repeated the assertion. During a joint news conference with Japan's deputy prime minister, Pence said the U.S. is committed to the safety of allies throughout the region. USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Wayne Allyn. I was one of the biggest critics of Obama in the national media. Suddenly, I was under massive IRS attack. So I hired Sam Landis. Sam did an amazing job. We won twice. I didn't owe a penny. Thank you, Sam Landis. Many of you have IRS problems, and you've spent thousands with non-lawyer tax resolution firms. Do yourself a favor. Call Sam Landis for a free consultation. Trust me, Sam Landis is the best. Sam saved my life. Call Sam at 800-WE-HELP-YOU with the letter U. That's toll-free. 800-WE-HELP-YOU with the letter U. 800-WE-HELP-YOU.
Uber drivers in New York are trying to take an action that would change the way Uber does business nationwide. Here's the story.
Lack of tips. It's a common complaint among Uber drivers.
I don't know, for some reasons, like, you know, Uber customers, like, you know, they're very nice, but, you know, they just don't want a tip.
That could change. The city's Taxi and Limousine Commission came out with a proposal Monday that would force Uber to accept gratuity on a credit card. Drivers say that would greatly encourage more tips and have been calling for such an option for years. It could finally happen in as soon as a few months. Ride-sharing rival Lyft already offers in-app tipping. Kristen Marks, New York.
A new survey shows that a majority of Americans have tried marijuana at some point in their lives. Here's correspondent Chris Barnes with that story.
The Marist Yahoo survey finding 52% of Americans surveyed say they have tried the weed at least once in their lives. 56% say they find the drug socially acceptable. 8 out of 10 people support the medical use of marijuana, but there is a pretty much even split over recreational legalization. 49% of adults supporting it, 47% say they're against it. I'm Chris Barnes.
Being tax day, many fast food chains want to help you stretch your dollar. McDonald's, Schlotzky's, Sonic Drive-In, Firehouse Subs among the places offering discounts today. Office Depot and Staples, they'll even shred some of your documents for free. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Hi, it's Joe Peters of Real Estate Matters, and we're going to get started pretty quickly here in about 3 minutes. First, I'm going to play a few paid commercials, give you the weather, and we'll be right back to kick in with Paul Muir.
Good morning, Hunterdon. This is Big C coming to you from HunterdonChamberRadio.com at the studio offices of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce in Flemington, New Jersey. Morning Hunterdon kicks off your day by providing you with local news, traffic and weather, as well as light topics through Vitamin C, Wake Up Call, and Chamber Chat. I also have many guests focusing on Hunterdon County community, business, and education. Listen to me every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Good Morning Hunterdon, HunterdonChamberRadio.com.
This is Joe Peters with the mic on this time. We're going to give you a little bit what's happening weather-wise, play two more commercials, and get into a conversation with Paul Muir, who is our mayor from Bethlehem Township. Last time I introduced him, I said Lebanon Township. I thought he was going to bop me one. But I guess that's an easy mistake, but not if you're from Bethlehem Township. Let's take a look at the weather. Right now, it is 66 degrees. Go down to 41 tonight. Be partly sunny and 60 tomorrow on Wednesday. It's going to be high around 70 again on Thursday. And then on Friday, we have some chances of showers during the day and evening Thursday. Chances of showers again on Friday is going to be back up to 77. And then Saturday, some sort of a normal temperature, like 63 degrees and sunny. So that's our temperature, as I said, 66 degrees, and we'll be right back.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program. No drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
¿Sabía que de cada 5 personas hay una que lucha con síntomas difíciles de salud mental? NAMI es una organización estatal sin fines de lucro. Somos empleados voluntarios. Somos la voz de la nación sobre las enfermedades mentales. NAMI te ofrece grupos de apoyo, educación e información. Nuestro programa educativo de Familia a Familia está dirigido por miembros de NAMI para familiares y amigos de personas que luchan con dificultad de salud mental. Llámanos al 888-803-3413. Recuerda, no estás solo. NAMI está contigo y no hay salud sin salud mental.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters of Weikert Realtors. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime, and selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 in Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technologies to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
Hey, it's Joe Peters with Paul Muir. Say hello, Paul.
Hello.
Hey. So we're going to talk about what's happening in Hunterdon County as well as Bethlehem Township, which is the fiefdom that Paul is mayor of. How long have you been mayor now?
It's my fifth year as mayor.
Wow. And how long of a term is mayor in Bethlehem Township?
So Bethlehem Township is a township committee. So we run for 3-year terms to be on the committee.
Okay.
And then each year at our reorganization meeting, we elect the mayor and deputy mayor annually. So this is my fifth consecutive year to serve as mayor and my seventh year on the committee.
That's interesting. So is it because nobody else wants it?
That may be. I do joke. I may have used the restroom when they vote, but I enjoy it. So hopefully, they see that I'll stay on there.
Well, that's good to hear, because I know even here in on the county level, they rotate every couple of years.
So the freeholders are a similar system with the freeholder director. And actually, the committee system and the freeholder. The way the board is run, the committee system is actually the oldest form of government in our country.
Okay.
So the more traditional or more well-known elected mayor and council is actually a newer occurrence to the committee system.
That's interesting to learn. So I'm learning something every time I have a new guest on the radio show. I'm putting my little shield on because I go pop, pop, pop when I talk. One of the things I do is repurpose these shows once in a while and make a social media post out of it. And I had a consultant set it up to show me how to do it and get just the good part on so that you're not listening for the whole hour. And she said, Joe, you pop when you talk. And a lot of people do. That's why you see people use the screen. I didn't know it.
I didn't know that. See, I learned something too now.
Yeah, so this was like a $5 non-popper, I guess. So 7 years there, 5 years as... I like to say she's the one who carries the big cross. If you've ever seen nonsense, that was about Mother Superior. That's interesting. Let's go back and come forward, though. Did you grow up in that area?
I did not. So I live in Bethlehem Township for 17 years now.
Okay.
And I moved here when I got married. I grew up in Union County and for a short time in Morris County. And my wife is from Pennsylvania, and we were looking for some place in the middle of our families in Hunterdon, is the wonderful place that it is, and we discovered it and decided to settle here.
I get a lot of that as I help people move into the area. Somebody's working in Pennsylvania, somebody's working in the Newark area, and it's a nice mid-road.
Yes, at the time I was working in Woodbridge. My wife, she stays at home with our children now, but she was a teacher, and so she was actually, once she moved to New Jersey, was teaching in Mansfield Township in Warren County.
Okay.
And it was just a beautiful place to settle and eventually raise our family.
So you met her in college? Where was college?
I did. We both graduated from Bucknell.
Wow.
Yes.
That's Big Bucks College. I know, because we sent a kid there.
Actually, now it's even more so. So I'm worried. My children are young, so I'm saving already.
Wow. And what was your major?
So I graduated early from Bucknell with a business degree.
Okay.
And I actually taught at Bucknell. So when I graduated, I stayed on for a semester and worked with the management program. And I also taught a two-year special interest course called the ILTM, the Institute for Leadership and Technology and Management. And it was the top 10 engineering students and the top 10 management students. And it was four professors and myself as the student teacher. And they were it was a two-year program. They were given projects with four large companies, typically Fortune 500 companies. And these were projects that their executive teams were working on at the time. Right. And they would see the results of what the executives did versus what they did. And then typically the second year of the program for them was the internship with those companies.
So it's almost like an MBA for engineers.
It was. It was a wonderful program to integrate the thought process between the two. Bucknell has really developed a great engineering program, even more so since I've been there.
Right.
But it's a great way for the management and the engineering students to realize what the thought process is from each side.
Okay. And it looks like you have an advanced degree as well?
I do not know.
I read it wrong.
Yes, I graduated early from Bucknell. One of the reasons I went there is I started the MBA program, and it was a one-year program, but Bucknell transitioned, and so I didn't was no longer offered, so I haven't followed up since, yes.
You know, MBA, to me, is an interesting thing. I was one of those guys that went to school at night, and somewhere about my 70 of credit, I had to take the stuff I wanted, didn't want to take. I took a semester off and never got back. So I've got all my academic careers, points, credits, but I never did all the things you have to take credits. And I must have had 36 MBAs work for me over time. And an MBA is good if you start using it, but it's of less value the longer you don't use it. And personnel had told me that once. I said, I can't believe a person that's got an MBA is looking for a programmer's job. And she says, because they're lost at sea. And that tells you something.
Yeah, I think people's life experiences in the end, like you said, as time goes on, mean more to what they're trying to achieve in the long run anyway. So it's nice to have that and say you've achieved it. But I think the impact on whether it's a corporation or other entity is less so as your experience in life changes.
Yep. I guess you're right. I don't know if you can hear it on the radio, but it's somebody doing some spin-outs out front of their car. So you then graduated from school, met your wife there, got married. Mm-hmm. What happened between then and mayorship?
I had various career options and choices, and then at the same time got involved with the town. So I guess they kind of parallel each other.
Okay.
So. My interest in the municipality growing up, we had a family business. We had a metals recycling business that my great-grandfather had started in 1938. That's when I graduated from Bucknell. I went to go work in the family business.
Right.
And it was we did off-prime metals trading. So we bought scrap metal, physical inventory. But what I was doing was buying from scrap dealers and then writing London Metal Exchange and COMEX contracts. And then we would fulfill those with physical off-prime inventory direct to Alcoa and Phelps Dodge, the direct
sort
users.
Sort of an aggregator.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And so that's what I did. But growing up in that environment, my father and mother were both always involved in the community and the schools that I went to. And so I grew up always wanting to help out the community.
Right.
So I met, at the time, the mayor in Bethlehem Township about a year after I moved in.
Yeah.
And I started on the Economic Development Committee because that was where my interest was.
Yeah.
And soon moved on to our zoning board. And I'm still a member of our zoning planning board 16 years later now.
Interesting. So to me, Bethlehem Township is on the west side of 31 and above 78, but it's not, because Clinton and Clinton Township were right there too for a little bit.
Yes.
Is that a good description?
It's a good description. It's in the northwest portion. We border Warren County, so we are right there with Bloomsbury. We border Warren, so it's the northwestern portion.
But it's really the probably greenest, most mountainous section of Hunterdon County I can think of.
It is, and I appreciate that. No, it's beautiful. We have some beautiful preserved farms, beautiful mountain range coming up over Jugtown Mountain, and it's just a wonderful environment. We have a nice valley also as you come back down off that mountain and head towards Warren County.
Right.
We have a Heritage Park is our beautiful park. It's a 400-acre park that we use for various recreation activities.
I'm going to have to go find it. I don't think I've ever seen it. Whereabouts is
it? It's right on Route 173. So if you're traveling 173 west, and just as soon as you come down Jugtown Mountain before you get to 78, there is one of those brown DOT markers, Department of Transportation, that says Heritage Park to your right, and you can travel down a lane. It's not right on the road, but once you get down there, it's a beautiful, beautiful park. And we have walking trails that will lead you down to the Musconetcong.
Okay.
We have a beautiful butterfly garden, of course, a playground for children, great sports fields. We have various sports teams and local clubs play there. And it's become a really, for a rural community, it's become the center of our, we have a 9/11 memorial that's there. It's really become the center of our community.
Interesting. I look at, from a real estate viewpoint, which is how I earn my living, but I get to meet a lot of people doing real estate things, like Paul. And last year I was involved in a Leadership Hunter program. I got to meet lots and lots of people. Next year I'm going to go for the same thing with Somerset County, because about 60% of my business right now is in Somerset County, because at the very high end of real estate in Hunterdon County, we're experiencing a little bit of a slowness.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
So what I've tried to do is move my business. I'm in the Warren Chamber of Commerce, the Somerset County Chamber of Commerce, the Basking Ridge Business Alliance. As a matter of fact, we're going to an event tomorrow night because they cut the tree down last week.
Okay.
And they have this thing at the Furniture Factory, which is going to try and make some furniture out of it. It happens to be in Hillside. So it's a charity and get the meet and greet and kind of thing. So I've moved my business in that direction because it's getting harder and harder to sell higher priced houses in Hunterdon County. And Hunterdon County sort of peaks out at $1.25 million anyway. There's not, we sell in an average month six houses over $800,000. And in that same average month, Somerset County sells 50 over $1 million. So, I mean, it's a different, people just don't want to come this far in a lot of instances. People who do, I think, are handsomely rewarded with lifestyle, but getting them to do it is an issue. So when I start showing properties, usually it's Route 31 plus a mile, and that's about as far as people want to go, which would exclude Bethlehem Township. Yet I find when people get out there, they love what they see. And then it becomes, well, what is the commute? Is it just back to someplace like Exit 36, which would be Warren, or, and then it's not so bad. But if it's all the way back to New York, it's pushing the envelope, even though we have people go away to Pennsylvania, go back to New York every day.
We've seen a transition in Bethlehem, but the access to 78 is wonderful. We have Route 173, where our park is located. It's a service road to 78, so you have access. It's probably the oddity, but if you'd worked in the Lehigh Valley, you have easy access to 78 heading west. If you're working further east, and like you said, in Somerset or Union County, 78 is a great commute, and most of our roads are easily accessible to get to 173 and back out to 78.
I agree with that. The other thing people say to me is the taxes seem a little on the high side over here. Is that the case, or is that a perception?
You know, I'd like to say it's a perception, being mayor, but they are, and they're a little higher, but again, it goes back to the quality of life, what you're paying for, and then that's something that we need to be cognizant of as municipal officials, and even Hunterdon County as a whole is looking at this economic development plan. So, again, I stated I started in Bethlehem Township on the Economic Development Committee because that was something that I was interested in and also had the knowledge to make some changes. And in 16 years, I've seen a lack of action within Bethlehem Township, and we're not a prime spot for economic growth, but we do have 173, which is a service road to 78. So we've done a wonderful job preserving farmland and open space, but what that means is it's saved some tax dollars because you don't have the influx of developments, which has been wonderful and helped save our township a lot of money over the years.
Right.
But it's also limited any kind of commercial rateable. So now costs never go down. They always go up, even if you have less of a student population.
Right, which we're experiencing.
But those costs are still there. Now they're being distributed amongst the residents. So our residential tax rate is probably higher than a more populated area.
Right.
But it's something that we're working with the county and working with internally. We do have an Economic Development Committee reestablished. We have a grant from the Highlands to do an economic development study for Route 173.
Okay.
And we're exploring ways of trying to offset some of those taxes. One of the things that we did this year that I'm very proud of was we actually reduced our municipal tax rate 2 cents per hundred.
Congratulations.
Thank you. So I don't know if we're the only one in Hunterdon County, but I'd imagine there are very few municipalities reducing their tax rate. And we did that because for many years, we were very prudent in what we did for at least the past 10 years as a township committee. So I want to give credit to my other committee members and previous committee members. We had 100% budget surplus,
right,
which is wonderful, but it's not necessarily fair to our taxpayers to carry 100% surplus.
Okay.
So we spent down some of our surplus to about the 80% range and used that to pay off debt that we have as a municipality. Right. And we also used our deferred school tax, which we've never had to use before. And rather than using it to prevent tax increases, we used it again to pay off outstanding debt and really prevent any future threats of interest rate hikes that we may see going forward.
So good. I mean, if you were living in a condo association, it would be like your condo board is in good shape.
Yes.
Which they're not usually.
No.
And the counties. Now, what is a deferred school tax?
So a deferred school tax is the easiest way. It was a tool that was given to municipalities a few years ago, many years ago, that allowed them, because the school year and the municipal budget years don't overlap.
Right.
So there's actually a cash flow gap on the tax collection.
Yep.
And allowed municipalities, if they had a budget shortfall, to cover their costs without raising taxes.
Okay.
So a lot of towns do that. You're allowed to defer up to 50% of your school tax that the municipality would need to shift to the school. It's not a good idea to go to the full 50%. A lot of municipalities used it as a crutch in New Jersey, and they don't have that as a tool to use anymore. Never really had to use it, but we saw it as an opportunity as interest rates were rising to pay off debt and save our taxpayers some dollars by doing that. It has no impact on the schools at all,
right?
And allows us to us to reduce taxes
even more solvent.
Yes.
Even more solvent. So when you were talking about this park, I remember reading that there was a ski resort in Bethlehem Township at
there
one time.
There was at one point,
like 1920s or something.
There was, and I'll be honest, I don't know the exact year that it ceased operation. I do know I've heard some stories that ceased operations due to insurance. Our society became more litigious, the cost of maintaining a small ski slope. But you can still see it. So if you come down Route 173 once again, make a right into West Portal Asbury Road, which takes you past our middle school, our Hoplock Middle School, right before a single-lane train trestle on the right-hand side, you will see there's a private residence there that used to be a lodge, and the ski slope runs up the mountain, and you can still
right
see
there.
The clearing.
Okay, yes. So I never could imagine where it was.
Yes.
So I've got two places to look for the next time I go over there.
Come visit. Yeah, so the park, I will add in a shameless promotion. So we're doing a car show at our heritage park. Yeah, so it's our second annual car show. And so last year we did our first annual car show. Now, Hot Rods at Heritage, and the money is being raised for our recreation booster programs. And it was a wonderful event. People that came out of the park really is an amazing setting. So when people came out, they really enjoyed the show, and the cars were amazing that came out. And so this year, we're doing the second annual. It's May 21st, which is a Sunday, and it's an amazing setting for a car show.
I'm going to come over.
We'd love to have you join us.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, the person who introduced us is Norma Kanian, who I work with. And Norma is like, we kid around because this is funny. If you've ever seen the Apple Steve Jobs movie, he had a woman who was his associate. And he says to her, somewhere about two-thirds in the movie, how come we've never had sex? And she looked back at him and says, because I'm your work wife. We don't have sex. So Norma, I always kid with, is my work wife. And Marilyn knows her. And it's like, We really talk frankly about things, and I sort of watch her back, and she watches mine, and she says she's never at a loss for saying nice things about you and your wife, so she must know you for some time.
I appreciate that. I've known Norma since I was 15 years old.
Wow.
We got to know each other through cars, so she'll I'm sure have her car at the show this year, and hopefully you can bring it out. And actually, with the Kent Township committeeman who's running the show, Jose Medeiros, is a Corvette enthusiast, so he'll have three Corvettes there himself.
Wow. Yeah, I could have seen Z01 the year they came out, which was 01.
Yes.
And Z06, I guess you'd say. It's now had its first beauty mark in an accident, which is how we met, because I was trying to get it repaired. But Bridgewater Auto, if you've got a Corvette, does a wonderful job on getting them repaired. I can't see where he painted it. And that's what I said to him, I want the whole car painted. He says, they're running another $5,000. I said, but it doesn't have a scratch in it. He says, you're not going to see where I paint. Let's try this first. And if that doesn't work, it's still going to run you $5,000 and have the whole car painted. So it doesn't matter. But I'm totally pleased with it.
That does wonderful work over there.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. I called my insurance company, said, State Farm's a good company, mm-hmm. been looking forever. I said, I want a Corvette specialist. So she said, probably would be easy. You could take it anywhere you want. It would probably be easier to find a Corvette specialist on your own and just say, that's where I want it fixed. So I started. I called Chevy. They have a Corvette club out of the Chevy dealer in Flemington. And that's about where I met you. And you said, oh, no, let's just take it over and Bridgewater can do it for you. So totally pleased with it. So I'll remember that. I'll see if we can get out there that day.
Yeah, bring the car out.
Yeah. So you've been restoring cars for a long time as a sort of a, I don't know if it's a hobby or a side activity.
Yeah, it's a mix. I've turned a hobby into a business. So I restored my first vehicle, or it wasn't really a restoration, more so than a custom build with my father when I was 13 years old.
Okay.
And so I have a 1955 Ford F-100 as a 67 wow. Corvette 327. Fairly well built, Ford 60 over, a little over 400 horse. It's on a four-wheel drive truck chassis and has a full steel tilt nose and bed. And wow. I still have it to this day, and that's what I had when I met Norma when I was 15 years old. I finished it about the time I was 15.
Right.
When I was working on yet another car then when I was 15 that I still have. And probably about, let's say about 13 years ago, I opened up a shop and we were doing some general repairs. And it was wonderful, but my passion is, older vehicles, restoration, custom work.
I remember that's what you told me. If you need it repaired, I'm not the guy. If you need it restored, we should talk.
We'll do all kinds. We'll do just about everything. I said the only thing we don't do is actually any of the stitching on the interior.
Right.
So we have a wonderful interior shop, but we'll do anything that you need for the car. I do custom pinstriping and lettering and things myself. And it's something that we have fun doing. So,
and that shop is up near the Mountain
View. We're on 173. I keep bringing 173. Yeah, I'm trying to support my own economy because we're right on 173 also, right in Bethlehem Township.
And you still run a scrap business up there as well?
I do. I don't use that location. Once in a while, we'll have a truck or two there. But
right.
I'm not involved in the daily operations in the scrap business, but that was is based largely in Woodbridge, New Jersey.
Okay. How did it get to be? I grew up in Edison. How does Crapford wind up in Woodbridge?
In Woodbridge, my great-grandfather started, the original business was called Riverside Auto Parts because it was right along the Railway River.
Okay.
And then eventually moved to its kind of current location, which is right along Route 1. There's a little corridor there with a lot of parts yards and a few other scrap businesses.
That's where all the junkyards were along Route 1.
Yes. So
and then A.B. Corb and South Amboy.
Yep. All right. If you cross over Route 1, we're still there. It's currently called Fortune Riverside. So we merged with another company about 11 years ago.
Super. So let's focus back on Bethlehem Township and what's going on. I mean, what since the 7 years you've been involved, what have been the major steps forward, and what do we see going forward?
Sure. Well, the first one that I just shared was really we take much pride in our financial prudency. And
I would think so.
We've had a commitment, and I've had a wonderful committee to work with for the 7 years that I've been there. Currently, my deputy mayor is Greg Glazer, and he's been mayor in our township. He's currently deputy mayor. His father was a mayor as well as a general in the Army. So. Greg has a wonderful history within Bethlehem, and he and I are the two longest sitting members on the committee at this point. But we've had some wonderful people to work with over the years. So that's one thing that we take great pride in. And along those lines, it's always steps leading up to that. So when I first joined the committee, I was made roads commissioner. So it's the committee member that's in charge of our Department of Public Works. And, I noticed we were starting road projects later and later in the year, each year. So we were working on roads when schools were opening, which isn't ideal. Our equipment was getting older. A few years before I came onto the committee, there was a large bump in the budget because a lot of the different equipment needed to be replaced because it all had kind of had issues and come to the end of its useful life all at one point. So one of the things that I started was a five-year capital plan when I first became roads commissioner. And it took us about a year to reenact it, and we're starting our next five-year plan now. But it's been fabulous for us because it's been able to stabilize how we manage our road projects.
the funding is available to us earlier, so the projects usually started in May or June at this point. And they're all completed by the time school is open. And as far as our equipment, that's all on a rotating schedule, so we're not going to be stuck with any large expenditures
at any one particular time.
Good.
So going forward, what happens next in Bethlehem Township?
Well, we want to continue to pay down some debt that we do have, which we're all from those road projects. We're on a cycle that each year we would spend a certain amount. So we're changing the way that we do that, so that now that we've been able to reduce the tax rate, that we can keep it that way. And so we're changing the way that we are spending money on roads. We're going to continue to improve our park. We're looking at some additional amenities, if you will, to the park. Now, it is an open space and a green acres park, so it's always going to remain that way. But we're going to replace our children's playground. We replaced the young children's portion of the playground with some new equipment.
Okay.
Last year, we installed a walking path in the park, which was a wonderful addition. And I am amazed at how many people use that walking path and really enjoy it. And again, I think part of it's the beauty of the park, but our residents have really taken to that walking path.
So what is your total population? You meant to look it up, and I didn't.
We have 3,900 people, 1,400 residents, 1,400 homes, and 3,900 people.
So an average of 2-point-something per household.
Yeah.
Now, Hunterdon County in general is losing school population. I interviewed the principal of North, and he also covers Voorhees, and he was saying something like 23% in the next 5 years at the high school level. Is your feeling the same way out there?
It has the potential to be. North, and I don't know if we shared that with you in that interview, but North has done a population study, and so they broke it down by sending district.
Okay.
And it's an interesting demographic. I happened the same day to also receive an economic impact study from the Highlands Council, and so it's interesting comparing the two.
Okay.
Bethlehem Township, we have an excellent school system, and the newer residents that I've spoken to have actually moved there for the school system, so it's become a benefit to us. Those studies from the North Voorhees district project Bethlehem to remain relatively stable over the next 5 years. So I don't see it has decreased a fair amount in the past 10 years, but I think it's stable where it is going forward.
So all your parts of your municipality go to North?
Correct.
Okay, you don't go, and no one goes to Voorhees, no one goes to
Delaware Valley. No, we're on the edge bordering Alexandria, North Voorhees.
Because there's part of your township that's under 78 over towards Alexandria.
Yes, Bethlehem is somewhat large. We cover, we look at the mailing addresses, it would be Asbury and then Hampton and Glen Gardner, and so it's rather spread out. But they all send to North Voorhees.
Yeah, I've never quite understood why the post office does what it does, but it's the U.S. government. Maybe that's the way it is.
I'm always amused because I share when I first say, like I said, I moved here, and I moved to Asbury, and nobody really knew where that was. Everybody thought it was in Asbury Park, and then I say, well, no, it's Bethlehem Township.
Right.
Everybody thinks I'm in Pennsylvania. So I love my town, but nobody easily knows where it is.
So I know when you get off by where you mentioned the trestle was and the old ski slope, and if you go about another mile and a half through farmland, you come across the river by the pencil factory or the graphite factory, and that starts Warren Township.
Yeah, so Bethlehem Township, in the middle of that bridge, is the separation of Hunterdon and Warren, and then Bethlehem, and then Franklin Township in Warren County.
Okay, so Franklin's all in Warren. We have our own Franklin, but that Franklin's all in Warren.
Yes, if we could be humorous about municipality, I think every county in New Jersey has a Franklin.
I think so too, and a union probably.
Yes.
So, I guess my mind is wandering all over the place, so let's put a couple of questions out there and see where we go with it. It seems to me as you get closer and closer to Warren Township in general, not so much your values go down, but less people want to go in that direction. More people want to stay nearer to the commuter routes and tour where most of the people live. Even if you go Route 31 and you go up into Hampton, it becomes a pretty much blue-collar area. Mm-hmm. There's even a trailer park and an old apartment complex. Now, I don't see that, but I see once you go over past that the graphite factory. It's pretty farmy, and you're going to go up to 57 if you just follow that road all the way up, and it gets farmier and farmier, and there's nothing wrong with that. It's just what New Jersey is all about. But
it is. I think they're beautiful areas, and it really depends on what people are looking for. So, again, kind of touching on your career, I think Bethlehem is a wonderful place for families. Actually, New Jersey Family Magazine ranked Bethlehem the fifth best township in the state.
I know you got up there.
So Clinton was number one, and one of my other passions, and I'm the executive director of the Red Mill Museum. So
I want to talk about that.
So I will concede number one to Clinton because it is a wonderful town. But Bethlehem was number two in Hunterdon County and number five in the state. But I think you're right. If people want to make that choice, and most of the residents that I talk to in Bethlehem have come to that realization that it's a choice for the lifestyle that they want to have. And it's worth that extra 5 minutes, off of 78 or 31 to get there. As you get into Warren County, it's a little bit more of a
And I
trip.
I see the further out you go, more and more generators in garages. Is that just a rural thing, or is
it's interesting because I'm going to go back to a story. I was on the I started in the township committee. I replaced somebody. I finished up an unexpired term. That's why it's 7 years because our elected terms are 3 years. I'm finishing up my second term, but I have an extra year because I finished up that unexpired term. And it was that first fall was what we called Snowmageddon, which was the year before Sandy. And we were out of power.
I remember that.
We were out of power in Bethlehem Township for 11 days that time. And so I was new to the committee, trying to figure out what we could do as a township committee to help out. And, one of the things that people shared is, well, you moved out this way. You chose to live here because you want the self-reliant lifestyle,
right.
But now you're out of power for 11 days. It's a little extreme. So we kind of say the guideline is maybe you can be self-sufficient for 48 hours.
Right.
So you have to kind of move to these areas with that expectation.
Okay.
So I think after that and Sandy, you've seen a lot more generators.
Yeah.
Again, one of the things that I've done since I was mayor in Bethlehem, we've started a cooling and warming shelter, and we've also started a community emergency response team. It's a CERT team. It's a Homeland Security funded training, and we have 19 members in Bethlehem Township.
Wow.
And so, when we had that Snowmageddon in Sandy, we were a rural community, and we expect some self-sufficiency, but we have seniors, we have other people with health issues.
Right.
Our municipal building had no power for those 11 days also.
Wow.
So our staff couldn't be there. It was very difficult to communicate with residents, so we established this emergency response team, and it's been, thankfully, we have not had to use it since then.
Right.
But we have a generator on our community center, which, like I said, can be used as a shelter. And this year, we're further upgrading it to add kitchen facilities.
Okay.
It would be manned by our CERT team, so we're prepared. We also have a vehicle we purchased last year, Hampton Fire Company, their older rescue vehicle.
Right.
It is now our CERT vehicle. And it's equipped with generators, so in case somebody does need electricity for medical reasons or maybe some sort of their well to function, we can go out and help them out with that. And also we can go check on our residents that are seniors or have health issues.
And most people who have life support have a generator. It just comes with the landscape.
Yeah.
I know you can go buy a Home Depot $1,400 generator, but you got to drag it out of the garage and plug it in, and you don't want to asphyxiate yourself with it. Or you can buy a $14,000 generator that's gas or butane, and it just kicks over. It's a fall-over system. So it depends where you want to be. And I just sold a house in, I guess, Branchburg Township that had a whole house. I mean, usually you just do the refrigerator, the heating, the water pump, and a few lights. But
we've seen, we require permits for generators in Bethlehem, and so I see the reports. We've seen quite a few whole house generators in Bethlehem Township, so our residents are pretty prepared. I will add in, too, as we talk about greater topics, I think I don't want to say you see less need for those generators. It's great to be prepared, but I will say those storms also really tested the resiliency of the electric system. And when we started this with Snowmageddon, JCP&L as our electric provider also wasn't prepared. So I say us as a municipality had a lot to learn, and JCP&L had a lot to learn. By the time Sandy came around, they learned more, not quite enough, but they learned a lot from Sandy. And I will say they have we have wonderful community representation from JCP&L. And in Bethlehem itself, we had a few like you said, rural and rather mountainous roads,
right,
that we had repeated power outages because the system was so old and it was tough to maintain on those roads. And J.C. Pinnell has gone above and beyond over the past good 4 years to upgrade those electrical systems.
Those two storms were back to back, and just about everybody in the middle of the state lost 7 or 8 days out of each. It seems like, and we'll change to Red Mill after this, but it seems like the biggest freak out point over losing electricity is you have no cell phone service unless you can plug it in somewhere.
Yes.
So it's almost like either you have to keep a bunch of batteries, and I know mine, the Samsung doesn't allow you to change batteries anymore.
I'm in the same boat with you. You know, the other thing, the cell phone is it's what gets to people what they think about, but really the other reason for the generators, when you get to more of these rural communities, you don't have water or sewer service, so you need electric to power your well pump, so you don't have water. So to me, that would be more of a concern, but I think in today's world, people are probably more concerned about their cell phones.
The more immediate concern, I think, is I can't talk to anybody. Yes. Like, who the hell do you want to talk to?
Can't check Facebook in the middle of a storm. It's very upsetting.
So let's talk about the Red Mill. I've lived here for 17 years, and the first time I went to the Red Mill, and I'll credit Norma Caney for this, was last Halloween. And she says, Joe, your kids are coming in. Why don't you bring them over to the Red Mill? It was a great experience.
Yeah, it is, I would say, a hidden jewel. It's not well hidden. It's out in the open. But the problem I find, especially with local residents, is they don't explore what we have beyond the actual mill itself. So we have this wonderful Red Mill. It's the most photographed building in New Jersey and one of the top five in the entire country.
Wow.
And then behind it, we have 10 acres and 12 buildings from the Mulligan Quarry. And it's really a wonderful experience to share the industrial and the social fabric of Hunterdon and the larger region. And people don't always take the opportunity. So we have a lot of out-of-town visitors come for day trips, and we're seeing more and more people locally discover what we have and come and share with us.
That would be great, because I'm getting involved, and it sort of forms and disforms on the tourism committee. Mm-hmm. And we're trying to do something every weekend. I said, wouldn't it be something once a month to start would be good? Because like the Balloon Fest is totally unexploited. They run it, and we could, as a county, don't use it as anything.
No.
I mean, what we would like people to do is have enough to do to stay over and get to experience the county. I know the way we found Hunterdon County was New Jersey Magazine ran an article once, and I said, let's go take a look at this. And we did, and it was about 5 years before we got enough gumption up to come out and actually buy a piece of property and move here. And we've never looked back. I mean, Marilyn goes to Rutgers every day. It's almost 30 miles each way. And to her, because her engine never even got warm on her way to work, her heater didn't come on. She was so close to work. To her, that is a nuisance, but she loves it here, and we've never moved back. Discover Hunterdon County, I think, is probably almost we're thinking that we want to use agritourism. Come on out and enjoy the farm to table, the wineries. The year before our project, they did a whole thing on wineries. We did one on the lifestyle and the drawing people in. It was agritourism and healthcare. We have wonderful healthcare here. Mm-hmm. Lack of crime, lack of just about any nuisance issue. Yes. There's a few, a little bit of drugs, but every place has it. And we're not as bad as any place else in New Jersey, so I guess we're doing our job. But the Red Mill just seems, because of its, everybody knows the Red Mill. It's almost obligatory to have a picture of the Red Mill in your house. If you don't, I question where it is. It's probably behind something, as they show.
It's going to be somewhere, and it's not just even in New Jersey. It pops up everywhere. We had a gentleman, now we're on radio. I know that the chamber's looking to add video at one point to their internet radio, but we had one gentleman send us through our Facebook page. He grew up in New Jersey, loved New Jersey, loved the Red Mill, and he sent us a picture of a tattoo on his forearm.
Really?
In the shape of New Jersey with the Red Mill and the waterfall in the middle the outline of New Jersey. It was amazing artwork, but amazing dedication. But yeah, the Red Mill really is kind of the gateway, if you will, to Hunterdon County, because we're kind of in that northeasterly area of Hunterdon, right in Clinton. It introduces you to the rest of Hunterdon, and I would love to. I agree with you on the tourism effort. I'd love to link to Flemington and Lambertville and Frenchtown and Milford and get these areas, and we all work together to make Hunterdon really an experience. Yep. With the Red Mill, we do see a lot of people coming from kind of the, you know, northeast New Jersey, New York, Staten Island area, and it's really a great experience. And the town of Clinton is wonderful, and the art museum right across the river with us.
So it's considered a not-for-profit, I would think, and it's 10 acres, and you sound like you have a pretty big organization. I mean, just from seeing all the people that were working on the Halloween event.
We do. Now, the Halloween, everybody in the Halloween event is a volunteer. We have up to 75 volunteers for that event. But so we are a private, non-profit museum. We're governed by a board of trustees.
Okay.
So my involvement, I joke about it. I got involved because I sponsored a car show many years ago and eventually was invited to join the board. I served as board president for 3 years. And after, I served as interim director twice. And after the second time, I asked the board if I could apply for the full-time position of executive director.
Okay.
I've become very dedicated to the Red Mill.
Wow.
But we have only two full-time employees, is myself and our assistant director.
Mm-hmm.
But then we have as many as 27 part-time employees because we offer school tours and then many, many volunteers. Like I said, if we include the Haunted Mill, we probably have as many as 100 volunteers.
Wow.
Again, we offer school tours, one of our exciting new initiatives. And I'm very proud. Our school tours, in today's world, school funding is cut for certain, especially kind of history and humanities studies.
Right.
Transportation is an issue, and we have a full, fully booked tour season. So we serve over 4,000 school children every year in what are traditionally colonial American tours. But we're changing the tour program a little bit, and we're offering a new STEM, the science, technology, engineering, and mathematics-based tour. And really, we're starting to get some great recognition for it. I think we're probably the only site that can really share history and science together. So we have a historic professions tour, and you can follow along to be a miller, a quarry operator, or a farmer. And so this way you're still exposed to the history, which is the core mission of our site, but with the obvious mill and the quarry operation, and then in the towards the back of our property, we interpret a bit of the farming and agriculture. We can share what STEM principles went through, and we align those with the STEM curriculum in the state of New Jersey, so it's easy for teachers to share this and bring their students out and join us for these tours. And it's really a unique opportunity to link.
So I know you run, it seems like, one or two major events a month, but on any day of the week people can take the tours, or is
it's a self, so the school tours are booked through the school, so typically fourth graders, the STEM tours are available. We can adapt them really for any age, but fourth or eighth grade is really where the STEM is. For the general public, we're open from April to the Haunted Mill in October, open every day but Monday from 10 to 4, and then on the weekends, 12 to 6.
Okay.
Self-guided tour. We do have wonderful signage, and you'll get a full feel for the history. The first weekend of every month in the summer, we do have a tour guide on staff there to do a guided tour. And our blacksmith, we have a working blacksmith shop, and our blacksmith is there working on those first weekends. In addition to the, usually, like you said, we usually have one event or two per month. This past weekend, we had our Military Heritage Day. It was our first time doing that.
Wow.
We always did a Civil War and Revolutionary War reenactments.
Yep.
And we decided that we wanted to make it a little bit bigger than just a single reenactment day. So we have Military Heritage covered from Revolutionary War right up to even Vietnam. We opened it with a ceremony recognizing veterans. We had the GEMVAC veterans join us. We had the VFW from Glen Gardner join us. And to make it extra special, and the reason we chose this year to launch that was we have an exhibit recognizing the centennial of America's participation in World War I. It's an amazing exhibit. Encourage people to come out and take a look at that. We have the 44 men who were lost from Hunterdon County.
Okay.
We have the photos and letters from home to share.
Oh, that's going to be awesome.
It's an
amazing
exhibit.
We're going to travel to Europe and go through the Normandy battlefields this year.
Yes.
And one of my... I serve on the board for 100 in the Somerset Realtors, called HSAR, Association of Realtors. He said, while you're in Europe, if you're in the UK and you have a day, because you have to travel there, he says, there's a World War I/II museum that literally takes you through the trenches, and you're in a pillbox, and they're shelling it while you feel what these men felt.
It's got to be an amazing...
Yeah.
You can imagine it was scary back then, and then, you know, they were in these trenches, and yeah. But it's going to be a great experience to go back.
We're looking very much forward to it. I want to come and take the guided tour. I'm a better listener than reader, and I think I'm going to make sure with Marilyn and I get over there. And you say it's the first weekend of each month.
The first weekend of each month. We also do another plug. Besides the school tours, if you do have larger groups, we have had some business networking groups, chamber groups. We have some businesses. We have some senior groups. We'll do scheduled tours, too, if you have a larger group, anytime that fits their schedule.
I'm wondering, Alan, I'm very involved going for a meeting after this to the Hunter and Helpline. Do you do co-tours or co-events with other fundraising?
We do, and we're trying to expand that. So we have our Kids Day this year as kind of a fun way to introduce our museum to families in Hunter County. This year it's August 6th, and we're going to be partnering with Norwest Cap on that event.
Great.
We are looking to, as a nonprofit, especially in Hunter County, I think it's important to partner with other nonprofits to share our message and work together.
Right, and everybody's always looking for – we're all diving for the same contribution dollars, it seems. It could almost benefit both.
I think working together always does.
So we got 3 minutes left. What would you like to talk – what didn't we talk about that you were hoping to mention?
I think we covered a good range of things. I said I'm very proud of what we're doing over at the Red Mill. I'll share one other initiative, actually, to finish up. We'll stay on the Red Mill topic. We're looking to renovate our Mulligan Tenant House. So we have one of the original buildings of the property. It was originally two houses. Now it's one. It was a two-family tenant house.
Yeah.
And the families were the laborers in the quarry, in the mill, and then also area farms. And their story has really been long lost to history. We always save the homes and the stories of what I say are the greats and the prominent people. But the people who actually built our community, built Clinton and Hunterdon, has long been lost. And this house is a wonderful opportunity to do that. So it's in desperate need of renovation. It was last attended to in the 70s. We've tried to maintain it, but it was a tenant house built out of scraps in the 1860s. So it's amazing it's still there.
Yeah.
And we want to share that. And like you were saying about the World War I museum in England, we want to make the experience come alive. So when we go through this renovation, we're going to have a sound system in that building. So you're going to feel the house shake from the quarry blast. This have a tin roof. We're going to have a sound so you can feel and hear the stone hitting the tin roof. And it'll be a permanent exhibit honoring the families that lived there and the other families that were in Clinton that were the workers that really made it what it was, but have, like I said, been long forgotten.
Great. I'm going to follow up on that with you on a separate tangent because that sounds like a great opportunity for both of our organizations.
I think that would be.
We do Salsa Night. That's our biggest fundraiser. And it's always, we get 10,000 people
out. That's a phenomenal event.
Yeah.
Yes.
And we do a golfing event. We do this event. We do that event. And it's like just sustaining non-for-profits is getting more and more difficult. There's more and more people looking for you to help them out too.
Yes.
But great, it's been great having you on. I learned so much about you and Bethlehem Township as well. And I think maybe we could do this on a once a year basis going forward and just keep the conversation alive.
I too enjoyed it. I'd be happy to join you again.
Well, great. Thanks again, Paul. And it's Joe Peters signing off with Paul Muir from Bethlehem Township. And Paul, being the mayor of Bethlehem Township, one parting statement and we're off the air.
I want to thank all of my residents and my fellow committee for the support to allow us to make Bethlehem as great as it really is. And thank you, Joe, for your time today, allowing me to share.
Well, thank you, Paul. And all I'm trying to do from a real estate viewpoint is make people aware we had Paul on, who's the mayor of Flemington on 2 weeks ago.
Yes, Mr. Greiner.
Yes, Greiner. And his plight has been very interesting. There is a replay of that show if anybody'd like to listen to it. And we also had Kimmy Getz's mother on 2 weeks ago, and there's a 15-minute replay of that on my site. So go to jpeters.com. You can find those, and eventually Paul's replay will be there as well. Thanks again for coming on. And guys, we'll be starting up with our next program in about 5 minutes, so hang in there as we go through a few paid commercials and the news, and we'll be right back to you. Thanks again.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters of Weichert Realtors. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime, and selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 and Somerset County areas over the past 10 years.
I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technologies to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.